So the words may ring a little hollow today, but let's recall a classic marketing slogan from the heyday of investment firm Smith Barney.
They make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
They earn it. The old-fashioned way of making money in banking seems as remote as the pharaohs today. Smith Barney itself has vanished into a joint venture, a casualty of the financial meltdown when Citigroup almost went out of business. So when J.P. Morgan Chase finally comes clean on a $2 billion-plus loss last week, it's a play on those classic words. Morgan lost that $2 billion the old-fashioned way, a bad bet on newfangled derivatives. Hey, they might as well have burned it all. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan's chief executive, took to NBC's Meet the Press this weekend to partially admit wrongdoing.
I do want to put in perspective, the company is going to earn a lot of money this quarter. And so it's a very strong company. We made a terrible, egregious mistake. There's almost no excuse for it.
Well, that's reassuring. But three high-ranking officials are reportedly resigning this week, including Chief Investment Officer Ina Drew, one of the most powerful women on Wall Street. The derivatives trade was intended to hedge the bank's financial risks, not amplify them. So what's going on here? Michael Greenberger joins us now, financial law professor at the University of Maryland, former regulator at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission. Welcome to the program, Professor.
Thank you.
So let me make that my first question. They described this, or press reports described this, as a hedge, a fund that was attempting to hedge risk within the bank. If that was the case, in a classic hedge, if you lose $2 billion, you should have made something somewhere else on the other side of the trade. That doesn't appear to have happened here.
That's exactly right. And as this trade is sort of picked apart, it becomes very clear that it wasn't a hedge. That it was essentially a bet, a gamble, using similar instruments to the kinds of instruments that led to the meltdown in September of 2008. These synthetic credit derivatives were the villain of the piece in the housing crisis. This is a slightly different synthetic bet, but it's the same principle. And they've taken a terrible beating.
There are two issues here. One is those instruments themselves, and we'll get to that in a moment. But it also appears that there was autonomy given within the bank to the people managing this fund, as though you guys are the wizards, just go out there and make tons of money in these weird, risky bets. I mean, that seems to go to corporate governance here, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a classic principle that comes out of the 2008 meltdown. If you don't understand a financial instrument, you shouldn't be involved in it. It's clear that Jamie Dimon didn't understand or know about this. They've been warned about it for several weeks now. And the people who are on the opposite ends of these bets are probably a bunch of hedge funds that were sending signals to various regulators that this was a crisis in the making. No one would listen to them, and now they are $2 billion up while J.P. Morgan is $2 billion down, and those guys don't want to let them out of this bet. It's a dynamic bet. It could keep growing. That's why he says maybe another $1 billion. Other people think it could be another $2 billion.
Wow.
And even higher.
So put me in one of your classes there at the University of Maryland, Michael Greenberger. I mean, I'm asking a naive question here, but is there a regulatory fix to the idea that hedge funds can possibly have this kind of influence over a bank, maybe encouraging them to get into these sorts of bets, and then when they blow the whistle, when they say, hey, this is going on here, the regulators don't even listen to them? I mean, this really seems like there's a circle of influence within the banking industry that the federal government has no place in the loop of.
Well, the irony of all this is that an important financial law, reform law, was passed in July of 2010 called the Dodd-Frank Law. Ironically, there are about three different provisions in that law that either would have banned this betting or would have called it out at an earlier stage. Because of Wall Street lobbying, the law has not yet been implemented at the regulatory level. And in fact, right up till Jamie Dimon's phone call on Thursday, J.P. Morgan and its fellow too-big-to-fail banks were winning a battle, weakening this law legislatively, administratively, and in the courts. I'm hoping now that this is a signal to those many, for example, members of Congress, especially the Republican Party, who wanted to, quote, repeal Dodd-Frank, to do just the opposite, let it go into effect. If Dodd-Frank goes into effect as intended, these bets would have been illegal from the get-go. If they hadn't been illegal from the get-go, let's make the argument that J.P. Morgan's trying to make, that they were legal hedges. They would have been transparent. They would have been done on exchanges. The market could have followed what was going on, and regulators would have followed what was going on. They don't want that to happen. They want these things to be opaque. And because the law is not in effect, they were opaque. So only J.P. Morgan can make a decision about telling us when these terrible losses took effect. We have a law that passed Congress that would prevent these kinds of losses and ultimately prevent the taxpayers from having to clean up these messes as they did in September of 2008 through the winter of 2009. The question now is, will the regulators, will Congress have the fortitude to make that law go into effect? And my hope is this episode is a reminder of the fact that we are teetering on the border of a depression, an economic depression, and we've got to stop this rampant, risky gambling.
All right, finally, doesn't some responsibility go to the Obama administration, though? I mean, they're in control of the regulatory process. If they allowed lobbying to delay it, it's really their fault.
Well, yes, it can be said that that's the case, but there's been tremendous battles and problems with the Republicans in Congress. The presumptive presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, says he wants to repeal Dodd-Frank and doesn't explain where the protections are going to come from. The Obama administration should be protecting this statute more vigorously, but I don't put them at the forefront of the problem. It's Congress and the intense lobbying at the various bank regulating functions that have caused the delays.
All right. Michael Greenberger, financial law professor at the University of Maryland, former regulator at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Talking about the fallout, and three executives will be losing their job at J.P. Morgan Chase today. The fallout from that $2 billion plus loss that Michael Greenberg suggests could be as much as $4 billion when all is said and done. We'll all be said and done on this story. You can weigh in at 877-8MYTAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.